This is the testimony of Donald L. Norby.
Today we're going to do something a little different on the program. In the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter tells us, "Sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear." And Peter says, I want you to be ready to give an answer, in other words, to give a defense, or to give a testimony, we could say, concerning the hope that is in you. And today I would like to do that with regard to myself. Some of you have been listening for some time to this program. Perhaps you've been wondering, who is this man, and what's his background? How did he come to know the Lord? And today we'd like to just give our testimony concerning what the Lord has done in my life. I was born of Scandinavian parents in Wilmer, Minnesota, October the 13th, 1923. My parents were moral, good people. They were religious, went to church regularly, and they were concerned to do the right thing as they understood it. So when I was a baby, I was baptized, and I still have that baptismal certificate. And I was, my parents understood by so doing that I now had become a Christian and I was a member of the church and so forth. After some years, when I was still a youngster, my mother became ill with tuberculosis. And she became a very sick woman, and finally the doctors encouraged us to move for her health, and we moved from Arizona, and moved from Minnesota and moved to Arizona, and I grew up basically in the state of Arizona, in Prescott and Tucson. We moved out there with a Model A in 1931, and we were pulling a four-wheel trailer and all our belongings on it. It was quite a traumatic move. We were leaving all our relatives behind. And it was a long ways to go in those days, and who knew when we'd come back. And it was during the Depression. It was hard to get work, and it wasn't easy. But we moved out there. My father was able to get some work, and I grew up in Arizona during those days. We moved from Prescott, where we'd lived 4 years, down to Tucson, and there my mother began listening to some radio programs, certain Christian programs, and these began to really help her. And later she told me she felt that as a young girl, in fact her mother had died of tuberculosis when she was about 17 or 18, and at that time she felt she really turned to the Lord, that there was a real concern to know God, and she turned to the Lord at that time, but she had very little teaching and very little help, and that faith was more or less dormant. She just didn't grow. She didn't progress. But now she began to grow as she was hearing the teaching of God's Word. She heard a number of different programs. And there was one local program conducted by a man named Mr. Gilbert, T.B. Gilbert. And since it was a local program, she wrote in and told how she was enjoying that. And he came out to visit. He visited several times. On one of those visits, I was home from school, and he talked some to me, but I especially remember before he left, he prayed, and I was very moved by his prayer. I can still remember this. The way he prayed, he knew God, he was expressing gratitude to God for salvation, and it was different from the prayers that I'd said all my life. We'd always say prayers at the meal. We'd say prayers when we went to sleep. When we were in church, we said the Lord's prayers. But they were always things that were memorized and things that I had learned. And this was the first time that I remember hearing someone pray as if he knew God. And there was an intimacy and there was a closeness. And I realized I do not know God. And I was being troubled then in my teen years about sin, and really not feeling right with God. And so before he left, after he'd prayed, he looked at me and he saw tears in my eyes. And he began to talk to me and he said, "Would you like to be saved?" And I said, I surely would. I didn't know. I didn't know if it was possible to know. I thought that you had to live a good life, do the best that you can, and ultimately you hoped that you'd make it. But could a person really know? And so he talked to me and explained the gospel to me, that God loved me and Christ had died for me. And when Christ died on the cross, he paid for all my sin, and this was adequate. God was satisfied. And if I would but just come as a sinner and trust Christ and receive him as my Lord and Savior, I could know my sins are forgiven. And I remember him pointing me to one verse in particular, John 5:24, that says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And I can still remember this man of God saying to me, "Now, what does it say if you believe? What does it say is true?" And the scripture says, "If I believe, I have eternal life." And the promise here of knowing right now that I was right with God and that I had eternal life was something new. And it was amazing to me. And I can remember that afternoon just in my heart saying, "Well, I believe what he's saying is true. And I believe Christ died for me. And I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. And I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to believe that right now I can know my sins are all forgiven. I won't have to wait until I die and then wait for the judgment. And God will decide then whether or not I make it." And so it was a very wonderful afternoon. This was in 1938, when I, just as a sinner, accepted the Lord Jesus and came to know the peace of sins forgiven. It was the beginning of new life. It was the most important decision I've ever made in my life. And I'm so grateful that I heard the gospel, and so grateful for this man of God who came to the home. We didn't wait for us to come to some church building, but who was concerned enough to come to the home and to explain to me the way of salvation, and who prayed with me, and who showed concern for me. I'm very grateful. I was saved that afternoon, and it changed my whole life. I finished high school. I was in high school at the time, and I was baptized, and I began to meet with an independent fellowship of Christians there, and started the university, and then the war came along. And in the summer of 1942, I went into the Navy and spent several years in the Navy during the war years, largely in the Pacific, and I believe kept by the power of the Lord, kept physically, kept spiritually, through those years, wonderfully kept by God's power. Sometimes it was kind of lonely. I remember one ship on which I served where I believe I was the only Christian, at least the only one who would acknowledge it. And so there were times of loneliness, but really getting to know God and trusting him and coming to love him in a deeper way. And brought back home safely at the end of the war and discharged. There was one fellow who had been in a Sunday school class with me who didn't come back, a fellow I knew quite well, and he died in the invasion of Tarawa. But I came back. I came back. I went to college, went back into college, and then met my wife, the one who was to be my wife. And we were making plans to get married and then finally got married. Now, during those years, I was struggling with the matter of the church, because here I'd come to know the Lord, and I really felt God wanted me to give my life to spreading the gospel and teaching his word, even though I might be at times filled with feelings of inadequacy. How could I be useful in this way? Still, I felt God's hand upon me. And so we were faced then with the problem, which church to work with. which fellowship? And I was a little bewildered and confused. Here are all these different groups. I was a member then of a particular church and working with it, doing preaching at times in that church and in other churches. And I was thinking, now, which church is right? Here, if I feel I'm going to give my life to working with God's people, which group, which one should I identify with and labor with? And I was having more and more questions about the group that I was working with at the time. And so my wife and I really began to study the scripture. And we said, well, surely as we go through the New Testament, God has some indications. He has some guidelines. He will show us really what his church should be like and what we should be doing. And so we studied through the word. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, and he's writing to Timothy, if I tarry long, that you may know how men ought to behave themselves or conduct themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And Paul says, I'm writing many of these things so that you, Timothy, and other believers will know how God wants things done in his church, how men should conduct themselves, how he wants his work carried on. So we studied through the scripture and we came to some real conviction about what the Lord would have. And it's been very stabilizing for my wife and myself to have those convictions. She has come along not simply reluctantly, because I'm the man of the house of that, but with real conviction on her part that these are God's truths and this is his way. Now, some of these things we've already talked about on the broadcast. We believe that the church is a body, not just an organization, not something you join, but something you're a part of because of life, because you have the life of God. And the church should welcome all of God's children. And we believe that leadership should be by elders, and that various gifted men should have opportunity to speak and to teach, and every believer should exercise his gift and be growing. We believed, we discovered, and we came to real conviction that the Lord's Supper was a very important time, a time of worship, and that the early church remembered the Lord in this way every Lord's Day. And we came to believe that what God wanted for those serving him was to walk a pathway of faith, without soliciting funds, without a salary, without taking pledges or anything like this, but just day by day in simple faith, relying upon the Lord and trusting in him. And these principles that we've seen from the Word of God have been very strengthening and stabilizing. And it's been a joy for us through these years to live for the Lord in some measure and to serve him. I hope you've come to know the Lord as your Savior. And I hope, too, that you have some real convictions about what God would have for you in your life and the fellowship with which you should meet. May the Lord bless you as you think through these things for yourself. In conclusion, I'd like to say that we've enjoyed these broadcasts with you, and we trust they've been helpful. And if they have, this is the concluding one of this series, but if they've been helpful, we would be encouraged if you would write us or call through the station and let us know that this broadcast has been helpful to you. May the Lord bless you.